Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, let it play again. Yeah. Wow, yeah, Trying to take my country from me, Trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me, Never give it back. Nate with the gat, you can never take that. Never take that.
Trying to take my country from me.
You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. At 6 tonight.
Everybody weeping every time you speak. You
They call the beast.
And people lining up for a chance to be. You think Santa Cage says dance with me. This words induce a trance.
Now let's see.
What tears streaming down the face to feet. Until we're now old enough to vote and speak for me.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd even really live to see the day the U.S. would make
history.
Didn't you vote for the change we need?
Yeah.
Did anybody catch what the change would be? It's the type of shit that make you stop and shake. Pull your neck back till it pop and break.
Yeah.
1,090 years the cops invade. Watch them raise taxes to stop the trade. Every day that passes causes the stock to fade. And the ones in power know what not to say. To make the revolution start but not today.
Yeah.
Hey, take a look around, shit's not the same. So don't let them come with the talking game. It's all out war and we're talking lame. They all from the devil, just the market change.
That's right.
When your freedom starts to fade. If I had to, I could mark the day. America fell prey to the monsters.
Yeah.
Little the target, the market, USA. You love the president, it's something you must say. So, hey, fuck it, welcome to the new day. Where Obama governs America in this new way.
Trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. Fought for us to have.
Never give it back. Same with the gas. Never take that.
Never take that.
You're trying to take my country from me.
You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. You're trying to take my country from me. Yeah. Stop, 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 stop. They're trying to take my country from me. 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 Trying to take my country from me. They're trying to take my country.
I'm gonna come and eat.
Oh. All right. I was having a little bit of fun with that one. Oh, it's been a great weekend. I had a great weekend, y'all. I got to tell you that. It was very relaxing. I didn't really get much done. But I tell you what. Here we are back. I am in. Right now, I am in Alabama. Yeah, I'm in near Birmingham. Birmingham, Alabama. But I got to go ahead and get the show done. Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't really matter at all. I could be on a cruise ship. I'll be on a cruise ship in March, March 24th. I'll be doing my show from there. I can tell you that right now. It's going to be great. But right now, right here and right now, we're going to get this show rolling. I tell you what, today's date, September 26th, 2011 AD, beautiful Birmingham, Alabama, United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun, and you are with C. Robert Jones. The C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Tonight's situation is this. Last Friday, I was on with a young man, and he was concerned about the level and intensity of the giving of American wealth to other countries. Foreign aid. And he suggested that we were giving a lot of money to countries that don't really mean us well, that don't have our best interest at heart. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about it right after this brief message. We're going to get into it. I'll be right back. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Doing? I guess you want some candy.
Yeah!
But first, I think you'll agree, we need some fundamental fairness in candy distribution.
What?
We need to spread the candy around so that it's fair for everyone.
Okay.
See, it works like this. First, I'll take all of your candy and put it into my bag. And now you're a pirate. Just like the people on Wall Street, who represent nothing but corporate greed. And you're a princess, and princesses are rich, right?
Right.
And rich folks got that way by oppressing others.
Huh?
So out of this whole bag of candy, I think both of you deserve two pieces each.
But that's not fair. We've been walking around for hours.
Now, I never said there wouldn't be sacrifices. And don't you want to share your candy with the hobos and the clowns?
No.
No.
Why do you get to keep all our candy?
Because I represent the government. And I like Milk Duds. Happy Halloween.
But I'm not really a princess.
Come on. Let's egg his house.
Okay. And we are back. Hey, listen. The banking queen, Barney Frank, and Barack Obama redistribution of wealth, Halloween style. So let's get right down to it. Stop foreign aid. The guy who was in the show on Friday, he wanted to know how much foreign aid we were given to other countries. How much were we contributing to other countries who don't mean us any good? But first, let's look at the polling numbers, the recent polling numbers as of January 31st, 2011. The question was simple. Should America stop all foreign aid until the U.S. is solvent again? Yes. Stop all foreign aid. Yes. 92% of those polled. No. Keep sending money. We don't have. 8% of those polled. I'm not sure how many, I can't say how many folks actually were polled, but 92% of those said stop all foreign aid. A live poll. Number two, should America and Americans come first? Yes, charity starts at home. No, we don't need to lead anymore. Votes are as follows. Yes, charity starts at home. No, we don't need to lead anymore. 4% of the people say no. So what we have here is an overwhelming number of Americans, at least those that are polled, who say that we should stop giving foreign aid to other countries, that we should cease to provide foreign aid to a variety of other countries. And I think I am inclined to agree with that. Because what do you do when you don't have any money? What do you do when your money's low? Well, you cut spending. That's what you do. You cut spending in your own household, in your own life. You stop giving to friends, family, charitable donations. You stop going out. You stop eating out. You stop driving your car as much because you're trying to save a little money. You don't have a lot of money. And AABCC says, yes, stop all foreign aid, and I couldn't agree more. Hey, if we do this stuff in our own households, a lot of us do, not all of us, but a lot of us do, then why shouldn't we stop all of this giving of money that we don't have? We're borrowing money in order to give it to other countries. Does that make any sense? So the guy who was in listening to the show the other day, he was right. But, you know, he was wrong that we, you know, he surmised that we, that in buying fuel from Saudi Arabia and other countries where we buy oil from, that we were actually providing aid to them. And I don't really see it that way. We're buying a product from someone, we're not actually giving them aid, as opposed to countries that we're actually just giving money to just so they'll like us. Of course we agree. And we agree because it's just common sense. It's common sense. If you agree with what we're being told, that America is broke, that America is on the verge of insolvency, then it stands to reason that we're going to have to tighten our belts. We're going to have to tighten our belts. Now, President Obama, for example, wants this jobs bill, and he wants to pass the jobs bill, and in order to pay for it, he wants to raise taxes on the wealthy. The millionaires and billionaires, the corporate jet owners, people like that. Really, it's those over $250,000 a year. But millionaires and billionaires sounds better. But instead of that, why not stop providing aid to some of these countries? For example, the state of Israel, which I happen to support, we give $2.58 billion a year. Egypt, $1.84 billion a year. Now, these are now provided now. I'm giving you the figures that I have. And the latest figures that I have, it simply happen to be 2010 numbers. I don't have 2011. So in 2010, we gave Israel $2.58 billion. Egypt, $1.84 billion. Afghanistan, 0.98 billion. Pakistan, 0.70 billion. And Pakistan has proven that they're not our allies. They're harboring terrorists. and pretty much keeping them, you know, keep giving them safe harbor. So we can cut those guys out right away. Colombia, $5.57 billion. Doesn't Colombia export a lot of drugs to this country? They should be rich. They should be swimming in money. Okay, so that's $0.57 billion. The Sudan. Where the hell is that? $0.50 billion. Jordan, $0.48 billion. Uganda, $0.25 billion. Kenya, $0.24 billion. Why? Does anybody ever ask why we're giving this money away? You were just giving them money. I mean, are you kidding me? Kenya, $0.24 billion. Ethiopia, $0.19 billion. South Africa, $0.19 billion. Peru, $0.19 billion. Indonesia, $0.18 billion. Bolivia, $0.18 billion. Nigeria, $0.18 billion. Zimbabwe? No, I'm sorry. Zambia, $0.18 billion. That's a lot of bread. I say if the president is really interested in getting his so-called jobs bill passed, all he has to do is cut out 3 or 4 of these top countries here, and we'll be swimming in the jack. Check out Iraq. Iraq gets $18.44 billion. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Peru gets $0.17 billion. Ethiopia, $0.16 billion. Bolivia, $0.15 billion. Where is all this money coming from? Where is it all coming from? This is what folks are talking about. And we have those people in Congress and in the Senate who believe that we should stop not just some foreign aid, but all of it. But just imagine, if you will, cutting out 5 or 6 of these countries. Just for this year, imagine it, how much money we would save. It would seem that we'd save an awful lot of money. But isn't that what America's all about? I mean, we're resourceful people, aren't we? We come to the conclusion that, you know, there's something that we need to do and we do it. We get our act together. But here's the thing. America wants to be liked. We want to be liked. We put some man, Mr. Davis, to death in Georgia recently for killing a cop. There were some misgivings among some in the community that he wasn't the one who committed the crime. But in the overall analysis, the evidence said otherwise. But here's the thing. On Facebook, there were posts that say how this execution of Mr. Davis will affect us and how people will view us on the international scene. So here we have people concerned about how an execution in this country will look around the globe in other countries. This is the mentality of America. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We want to be liked. Now, ABC is concerned or doesn't agree with me on the execution part. Well, frankly, I don't understand why the man was executed. There seems to be, if there was a shred of doubt, just a little bit, I mean, what's the harm in looking into it, a stay of execution? But it's my understanding that there were like 20, 30 different, he had like 4 or 5 different trials and a whole lot of motions put forth over a course of 15, 16 years. So I don't know. But quite frankly, I think if there's any doubt at all, a man should be given every due process. Now, there are those who say that he got every due process, but that's another topic for another show. America wants to be liked. We want to be loved all across the globe. Now, let me tell you a little story. When I was a kid, I lived in Chicago. I'm a native of Chicago. And my dad, I was about seven years old, my dad took me and my brother to a place called Riverview Amusement Park. And my dad had won a prize. And he had an opportunity to either take this fine stereo system, fine for that day, or a 3-speed psychedelic bike, which was all the rage. Well, my dad collected the bike for me instead of taking the stereo system. Well, over the course of about a couple of months, I was new to the neighborhood. Kids would come over and they'd say, "Hey, I really like your bike." I'd say, "Hey, you know, you guys are great, and I really want you to like me. I'm new to the neighborhood." And I began to give them pieces off of my bike, reflectors, even a damn shifter for stuff that they gave me, because I wanted them to like me. I wanted to be friends. I wanted us all to just get along. And I proceeded to give the bike away piece by piece in order to win friendship. I learned my lesson, but it took years. You can't buy friendship. You can't buy popularity. People will simply take advantage of you and think you're weak. At worst. At best. But America doesn't seem to have learned that lesson. We can't buy friendship of other countries. And this is what we're doing here. Why are we giving billions of dollars to Indonesia? 0.13 billion. To Sudan? 0.14 billion. Turkey? 0.14 billion. Bolivia? 0.15 billion. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, we do have strategic interest in these countries. And in order to grease the wheels, we got to spread a little money around. Okay. Would you think they might be satisfied with a couple hundred thousand here and there? Maybe. You know, maybe a million here, a million there. Why so much? The question is, why are we giving $0.184 billion to Kosovo? Why are we giving $0.174 billion to Russia? Hell, Georgia. Not the United States, Georgia, but the former Soviet Republic of USSR. Georgia is getting $107 billion. Serbia, $0.10 billion. Peru, $0.97 billion. Armenia. Wow. They're all just sucking off the teat of the United States of America. And Panky, I can't pronounce his name, I'm sorry. In the chat room says the United States uses aid as a soft power. Well, I think so. But why so much? You think they probably understand? Hey, you know, we run a little low on cash this year. Can we, you know, let's rearrange our deal here. You know what problems we're having here. I'm putting myself in the position of Uncle Sam. You know, we're having a little trouble here. You know, we're running a little low on cash, you know, this year. You know, we're going to go ahead and, you know, and bring that down a little bit. But we'll make it up to you next year. How about that? you know, we'll see where we are, and then we'll just kind of, but why not? Why not? I mean, we don't have any money. We're broke. I mean, personally, I don't know that we're broke. I'm just listening to folks say that we're broke. There are people out there saying that we're broke. So I will assume that we're broke. I mean, I'll take that as face value. I'm sure you will too. We don't have any money, folks. When the going gets tough, America just keeps on giving. To the tune, now listen to this, sit down, you might have to sit down, of $241 billion a year. $241 billion a year. That's 2.3% of the U.S.'s gross domestic product. That's a lot of jack. The U.S. is the only, the U.S. is only the world's biggest giver because we're rich, so to speak. In terms of generosity and altruism, the U.S. is the most stingy and self-interested giver in the developed world. We give because we want something in return, as is stated in the chat room. That the United States uses aid as power, soft power. And I couldn't agree more. So then why do these people hate us still? Why do they dislike Americans so much? We're giving. We're giving money we don't have. That would be like me, one of my cousins approaches me and says, hey, can you give me, $5,000? I don't have $5,000, so I go and borrow it and give it to them, knowing I'm not going to be paid back. But they need it, so I'm going to go borrow the money and get it, and I'll worry about how I'm going to pay the folks I borrowed from later. The United States is broke. And Panky writes in the chat room, yes, the United States is broke, but it won't be officially broke until the dollar is no longer the reserve currency. Well, that's exactly right. And that is coming up in one of these week's shows. We're going to talk about what's going to happen when America goes broke, when we finally do go broke, when America is no longer the reserve currency, when our financial system collapses, what happens next? We're going to talk about that all week this week. But right now, Americans are regularly told by politicians and the media that America is the most generous nation. Is that true? $250 billion? Well, I just happen to have Ron Paul here, and he's going to tell us all about it. What I love about Ron Paul, he reminds me of like my grandfather, some lovable old coot who's, off his rocker just a little bit. Kind of reminds me of that kind of grandfather type thing. But those old guys, they do make an awful lot of sense. So let's listen to what Ron has to say about this issue. I'm sure you've heard it all before from Ron Paul. You know what he thinks, but we're going to go ahead and take a listen anyway, because I believe he spells it out just right. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
A mess that's getting messier, and reason enough for Texas Republican Ron Paul to say the U.S. should stop getting in deeper and cut all financial aid to Egypt now. Congressman joins me on the phone. Well, that would be a big move, Congressman.
Well, it would, but I'd include everybody because I think we just get ourselves into too much trouble. This is a typical example of what happens when we run an interventions-type foreign policy. We get in the middle of these fights. But we've been in the middle of this for 30 years over there. We've given Mubarak $60 billion, and so we're responsible for a lot of the mess that's over there.
What if we did indeed pull out or stop giving them money? The argument is someone else comes in to our detriment. What do you say?
Well, that may be, but you don't know whether it will be to our detriment. somebody else is going to come in. The big fight now is for us to be in charge. I mean, if Mubarak survives, we want to be on his side. If they get a new guy, we want to be on their side. So, and I just think that doesn't work, because eventually the people rebel. For a while, it seems to be stable, but it's so artificial. I mean, all that money going over there, they have a 450,000-man army that will probably be turned against the people unless they take over the government. And there's a lot of wealth there for a few people, and the people are suffering. It just sets the stage for this. They should be forced to live within their means and take care of themselves. But I would do that with all countries. I wouldn't just cut off Egyptian aid. I'd cut off all aid from the Middle East, and maybe that whole area would be better off for it.
Well, the argument against doing that, Congressman, you've heard this so many times, is that in this case, the Muslim Brotherhood, through groups like Al-Qaeda and the rest, would get enormous influence in the region, a region rich in oil, and we'd be having to kowtow to them. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, that is the argument, but they ever thought whether the growth of groups like this is because they have a target, and the target is us, is our puppet governments? I mean, we didn't have to worry about radical mullahs in Iran until we put the Shah in, and then it took a couple of decades, and finally the people rebelled, and there was a revolution, and there was a blowback to us and an unintended consequence. So, yes, I think we have to worry about the radicals, but we have to understand how they get their motivation, and their motivation is how they arouse the people and radicalize them is when we take over. I mean, I think the big issue here is how long is it going to take for this to happen in Saudi Arabia, and for people to say that's impossible, I think they're kidding themselves. Now, that would be big news, and that would be major, and maybe that's why some people are discounting that, and I think oil went up, what, $6 or $7 in the last two trading days. So,
right.
So there's something significant going on. There's a lot of concern there.
On the fear of just that. You're right, Congressman. Thank you very much. Good having you.
Sure thing.
All right, and we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. So, here we are. It's a nation that is broke. Peggy writes in the chat room, the money given toward aid is fake money printed by the U.S. Treasury from directions of the Fed. The interest on that money borrowed from the Fed paid with real hard-earned tax paid by U.S. taxpayers. Indeed, agreed. But what is it buying us? What are we getting for that? What are we getting for that money? And indeed, as Panky writes in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, would that money be better spent here in the U.S.? Wouldn't it be better spent? We're talking billions of dollars here. I mean, as I put it out there, we're talking billions of dollars. Just one country alone. Just one country. It's more than $1 billion. For example, I know that Israel is one of our strongest allies. Is our strongest ally in the area, is our best friend. But $2.58 billion a year? Excessive? Egypt, $1.84 billion. Afghanistan, maybe that's necessary. Pakistan, no, I don't think so. Colombia, no. Sudan, no. Jordan, no. Uganda, no. Kenya, no. Cut out five of those countries that I just listed. And we could fund some things here in the United States. Does anyone doubt how many homeless people we could feed, house, if we cut out three of the countries I mentioned? Indonesia, $0.18 billion. Bolivia, $0.18 billion. I'm not sure how much that is in millions of dollars, but that's still a lot of money. Nigeria, Zambia, cut those four out. Peru, just for this year. Just for this year. New writes in the chat room, the U.S. has no poppy fields or diamond mines. Indeed. But Surely they've heard the news. We're running a little bit low over here. Our wallet is not as fat as usual. We're a rich nation, but, I mean, we're running a little bit low. So wouldn't it be a good idea? Well, I mean, I wonder how many folks agree. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we just cut back a little? How many of you would agree that $18.44 billion for Iraq for the year 2009 was a little too much? Shave off, you know, $5 or $6 billion. You know, cut back on a few things. Spend that money at home. Could we not eliminate some poverty here? Just a little? I know we spent, you know, nearly $1 billion on this last stimulus package that didn't produce, that was like, okay, 260,000 per job created, maybe, if a job was created at all. But just imagine if that money was used wisely. How many folks could we feed? How many jobs could be saved or created with, say, Egypt's $1.87 billion or Colombia's $5.7 billion? How much money could we save, folks? I mean, seriously, can we talk? Can we keep it real? Turkey, $0.15 billion. I'm not sure how much that is in actual money, but it sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Kosovo, $0.184 billion. That is a lot of money. All right. So I got one more clip I want to play because it speaks to the matter at heart here, and then we'll move on from there. Because, and this clip is kind of lengthy. It's a few minutes long, but it's important. I listened to it all the way, and I think it's very appropriate for this particular show. Because it answers some questions, and it gives a lot of food for thought. So check it out. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The caller number is 347-884-8500.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Like a spider monkey! I want to kick right off and talk about something that not a lot of people are talking about. I know many of us out there, we see time and time again where our nation seems to be putting more focus on getting money, U.S. dollars, into other countries' hands to assist them in whatever reason, whether it's militarily, relief aid, if there's a disaster that strikes or something like that. It appears that our country at times is a lot more focused on helping out other countries and making sure that they have money, they need to do things, then quite obviously we are about our finances in our own country. We're going to talk about some numbers here that you guys may not be aware of. Here are the top five countries that receive foreign aid from the United States. And these numbers are taken from 2000 to 2008. So keep in mind there are some regime changes that have taken place in there that may affect these numbers one way or the other. Top five countries. Number one, Iraq. Iraq has received $51.2 billion from the United States. Israel, rightfully speaking, they're our biggest ally. They received $29.4 billion in U.S. aid from the United States. Afghanistan, they have received $25.6 billion. Egypt has received $18.5 billion from the United States. And Russia, $10.7 billion. Now, the reason why we single out these five, and we're not going through the rest of the list, it's for this very reason. You may be thinking, what do we get out of that? That's what I think. What are we getting out of this? Why are we giving Iraq $51.2 billion? Obviously, we have some other issues involved in Iraq. Again, these numbers are collective during the time when Saddam was still there and now that he's gone. So, obviously, we're pumping a lot of money into Iraq. I almost give Iraq an asterisk next to them because they're not fair to compare to some of these other countries. Israel, I guess to a certain degree you could consider that too, because they are a big ally of ours. But point being, we want to show, and we got these numbers from the Heritage Foundation, we want to show where we're not getting what we think we're getting. We may be thinking we're earning an ally, with Israel being the only one that really seems to have had an alliance with us. We aren't gaining anything. We're not gaining an ally. We're not gaining any kind of positive response from these countries that we're funneling all this money to. Case in point, Iraq. Okay, $51.2 billion we give them. In the UN General Assembly, these guys have voted. Now, we're talking about votes that parallel that of the United States. It's a cause that we vote for and that we're trying to lobby these other countries to vote along with us for these worldly causes. Iraq has voted with the United States only 8.6% of the time in the General Assembly. We give them $51.2 billion, and we get 8.6% cooperation. Israel, obviously, they're the highest as far as voting with us. They've voted with us 90.3% of the time. Those of you out there, that the Muslims and the other haters out there that want to say the United States is a bunch of Jew-loving people, you know what? We have an ally in Israel. They vote along with us. They're an ally of ours. They agree with our way of life and the way we want to run things and the changes that we feel need to be made in the world. They vote with us. Yeah. We're pretty much Jew-loving. We probably love you guys, too, if you voted along with us and sided with us on some things, especially since we're giving you all this money. Afghanistan, $25.6 billion we've given them. They vote alongside us 17.5% of the time. Actually, I'm surprised that it's that high. Afghanistan is one of the countries I would expect to be down with Iraq at 8-point-something percent. Egypt, it blows my mind. It's much that we've done to prop that country up. Egypt, $18.5 billion. They have voted alongside us 12% of the time. 12% of the time. These guys have a common ally or had a common ally in Israel, and they side with us 12% of the time, but don't have a problem taking our $18.5 billion. And, of course, Russia. Russia brings up a totally different set of questions. Why are we giving any kind of aid to Russia? Why are we giving that to them? That's one country that they're still living in the Cold War. They wish that we still had a Cold War going. They're trying to reignite the Cold War, regardless of what Barack Obama believes, by ditching all of our own nuclear weapons. They're stockpiling theirs. They have voted alongside us 25% of the time. Now, that surprises me. Russia may be the only country that's kind of got it figured out. I know 25% of the time is not much, but it's higher than these other countries other than Israel. 25% of the time Russia has sided with us, and they get 10-point-something billion dollars a year. Okay, first of all, Russia doesn't need our money. They've got their own money. They've got their own oil and everything else. Russia has it figured out. Vote with us a few times, and we're going to let a lot of things go and keep giving you your $10.7 billion a year. Perfect example. It doesn't matter what Russia votes for that the United States is for. The START Treaty. You know, do you honestly believe, and I'm not talking to Barack Obama because Barack Obama does believe that these Russians are going to do this. Does anyone out there honestly believe that when Russia says, you know what, we're gonna get rid of half of our stockpile of nuclear weapons, the United States is going, really, thank you. We appreciate that. That's awesome. We're going to do the same. Russia's sitting back there going, okay, cool. Russia's not getting rid of their weapons. They say what we want to hear to get what they want. They're the ones that have it figured out. These other countries are too stupid. They don't vote in our favor. Of course, I guess indirectly they're still getting their way because we're not getting our way. But Russia has it figured out because they vote kind of with us sometimes so that we kind of think we have an ally. So we'll kind of go along with them. Russia knows that it doesn't matter what's written down that they voted for or what they actually vote for. They can do whatever they want and still get their $10.7 billion a year. I think they're the ones that's got to figure it out. This is kind of a telling statistic. From 2000 to 2008, 95% of U.S. foreign aid recipients voted against the United States in a majority of the non-consensus votes in the U.N. General Assembly. 95%. 95%. Of the countries that get money from us, vote against us. Now, one thing that I think is interesting in all this is that a lot of that aid that we provide, this is not just bags of rice that we're dumping on these countries. A lot of that is foreign military aid. So we're propping these countries up militarily to give them. Now, obviously, in Egypt's case, we're trying to give them that money to, because we feel like they're an ally in an area where we don't have many allies, and we're hoping that they're equipped militarily with the type of equipment that can actually help them in that area, which indirectly helps our cause in the area. But obviously, those same dollars, case in point, Iraq, our same dollars that prop up these military organizations and give them the weapons and the modern weapons to do things eventually can be used and most likely will be used against us. So we're giving countries military aid, a lot of military aid, billions of dollars in military aid, to countries that we'll probably meet one day on the battlefield. So I think we need to do a little bit better assessment in who we give money to and why we give money to. Look at Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. This guy, supposedly, there's been reports out there that he's worth $70 billion. It's confirmed that he has $3 billion. Billion dollars. Billion dollars. Bill Gates has, what, $57 billion? And they're saying this guy is the richest man in the world. They're saying this guy has $70 billion? Now, again, that's unconfirmed. My point is, what exactly has Hosni Mubarak done to earn that money? Bill Gates has earned his $57 billion. Has Mubarak? What has he done? For 30 years, he's been a dictator. I'm sorry, Hillary Clinton, not a dictator. He's been a leader of a country. My bad. But what has this man done? Has he invested that money? I mean, has he made some remarkable stock market moves that has somehow gotten him all his riches? No. That's U.S. dollars. That's U.S. dollars that went for something other than padding his bank account in Egypt. So are we so stupid that we honestly feel like this money is going where it's supposed to go? Most of these African countries, they're so corrupt. The only ones that have any money is the military and the dictator in the that's over the country. And he's funneling that money to the military to protect him, basically, from a coup from the rest of the country. They're driving down Poor Street. So this money is not going where it's supposed to go. It's never going to go where it's supposed to go. I don't care if we try to put some kind of regulations and try to follow the money to find out where it actually winds up. It doesn't matter. It's going to go in these dictators' pockets. And again, a lot of these countries we may be fighting in the near future. I encourage everybody, contact your congressperson. When all of these votes come up to fund this money to these countries, contact them and tell them you don't want it. Contact them and tell them you don't want that money going to these people. These countries don't support us. They hate us. They vote against us. Let's stop giving them these billions and billions of dollars.
I tell you what, I agree. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. We're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Again, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. I mean, when I heard this clip, which I got from YouTube, I said, you know what? I could spell this out. I could say what he's saying. But could I say it better? Could I do it justice? Would there be anything new I could add? No. So I said, okay, you know what? It's a nine-minute clip. But hell, I'd just be rambling for 9 minutes and certainly wouldn't say it as good as this guy did. And so that's why I played the clip, because he puts it out there. It's like, and no offense to any of my listeners, but it's like foreign aid not for dummies. I mean, he put it out there, and I couldn't agree more. It's time to stop attempting to buy friendship. Panky writes in the chat room, I keep hearing the, quote, ally and interest, end quote, jargon being thrown around. Someone explain to me, what is this interest and what does it look like? Exactly. That's exactly right. Panky also writes, hell, each Iraq and Afghan could have given $100K each. Could have been given $100K each in humanitarian aid for less than that. We could have bought friendship for the next 100 years. Indeed. So here's the thing. If our president, our elected leaders, and you know I'm hard on Obama, you know I am. But Republicans too. George Bush as well. Under George Bush, We gave, under George Bush, we still gave Israel $2.58 billion. We still gave Israel $1.8 billion. We still gave Afghan $0.98 billion. We still gave them the same amount of money. So it's not a party thing, not today. It's not a Barack bashing fest like I'm known for. You know I love it. That's not what it's about today. It's because both parties are at fault here. Both parties are guilty of giving away the store. For what? We don't get anything for it. We get a strategic ally here and there. But quite frankly, I believe that we could get a strategic ally here and there a lot cheaper than this. And we can't afford it. We simply cannot afford it. So, hey, tomorrow's show is going to be all about how the dollar is dying. And what's going to happen when it does? What's going to happen to you and me? What's going to happen to our families? What's it going to be like if the inevitable happens, as some say it will, that the United States economic system collapses? What are we going to do? So we'll be talking about that all this week, along with the news of the day, because today we really didn't get into what's going on today. But I wanted to get this out of the way because some folks were interested in it on Friday, and I thought it'd be a good topic. So I laid it out there, I put it out there, and it's out there. So, hey, let's get together tomorrow, and let's talk about what happens when the dollar dies. What happens when our economic system collapses? What do we do? And that's tomorrow, and that's Wednesday, and that's Thursday. Let's talk about it. Everyone have a great evening. God bless you. God bless America. Alexander Solo, Blog Talk King, all the guests that showed up, all those folks I paid to come in and listen to the show, thank you. Money well spent, money well earned. Marine Times, Net King, New, Panky, thank you guys for coming in. I do appreciate it. Everybody have a good night. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Keep the devil down in the hole.
What would have happened in 1789 or 1942 or 9/11 if a top government official stepped in front of the people and publicly proclaimed America was a nation of cowards? He would have been run out of the country on a rail, packaged in tar and feathered, at least. But that's what happened in 2009, and you did nothing. Have you become a nation of cowards, America? In the greatest show of arrogance and disdain any Congress ever showed any citizenry, your dysfunctionally elite, self-interested, non-representing representatives passed the largest spending bill in history without reading it, and you did nothing. You want them to obey your constitutional mandate and secure your borders, and they ignore you. You ask them to enforce your immigration laws, and they ignore you. You say stop the madness of handing $300 billion of a bankrupted treasury to illegal alien welfare, rewarding them for making a mockery of your laws, and they ignore you. And now, in open defiance of the overwhelming will of the people, are preparing more amnesty programs. You say stop exporting my nation's vital industries to foreign shores, and they ignore you. You say no to using your money to bail out failed, corrupt, and greedy businesses, and they ignore you. You say implement the E-Verify system so American jobs go to American workers, and they ignore you. If your self-serving Congress were a business, they'd all be in jail now. The biggest traitors among you hold elective office. Only when they feel the almighty wrath of we the people marching in the streets from California to New York shouting we're mad as hell and we want our country back will they get the message they work for you. Wake up, America. While you were playing with the toys of your consumer wealth, you lost much more than your bloated economy of living beyond your means. You lost your representative democracy. Your servants have become your masters. Taxation without representation is tyranny. But still you look to government to solve problems they created in the first place. You're sucking at the hind tit of a dead cow. Why isn't there a 3 million person We the People march on Washington? A nationwide taxpayers revolt. Thousands of cars and trucks surrounding your nation's capital, bringing your failed government to a standstill. Democracy doesn't repress power. It unleashes it to we the people. Take it now. They dictated an economic salvation plan to you. Now it's time to stick it to them with a we the people stimulus package. Require all laws that apply to the rest of the country to equally apply to Congress. Start by first removing the elite privileges that place your non-representing representatives above you, not with you. Require all laws that apply to the rest of the country to equally apply to Congress. Repeal Congress's right to vote for their own raises. Balance the federal budget. Force your legislators to do what you now have to do. Live within your means. If you don't, you're committing national suicide. Make Congress pay into the Social Security system. They make laws for it. Now they might be interested in thinking twice before they allow 20 million illegal aliens to reap the benefits of a retirement program the legal citizens paid into all their lives. Long-term power corrupts. Limit Congress from serving more than two terms. That's all you give your president. Let them search for their own 401k plan instead of the gross unfairness of awarding them their full salary for the rest of their lives after only serving one term. Stop paying for lawmakers' insurance premiums. After all, they're only part-time employees. They might pass some laws on the insurance companies if they had to find one themselves. Throw out of office every congressman and woman who didn't bother to read the biggest spending bill in history before voting for it. With the money you save from all of the above, put it into increased salary and benefits for the men and women of the armed forces. They never fail you. Start no war unless you intend to win it. Make English the official language of America. You talk of United We Stand, but do nothing to make it happen. Give every legal immigrant a chance to succeed. Not 1 cent of taxpayer money for illegal aliens. We are a nation of laws and do not reward lawbreakers. Abolish the Electoral College and put the election of the president back in the hands of we the people. Bring back universal service. 2 years in the military or 2 years in community involvement. Ensure your future. Rekindle the spirit of America. Service, honor, and duty to country. Give your young people a chance to understand they are entitled to nothing they don't earn. Wake up, America. You've allowed yourselves to become little more than cowering spectators, watching the nation your grandparents built, the richest, most powerful, most self-sufficient republic in history, with the highest standard of living any nation ever achieved, now in the middle of the greatest unprecedented decline in modern history. The world's only superpower can't defend its borders, balance its budget, win its wars, manufacture its own products, or protect its own currency. Your total government debt obligation in the next several years is approaching the gross domestic product of the entire world. You've diminished the future of your children, grandchildren, and 10 more generations of Americans. On September 11, 2001, 300 million Americans put aside what divided them and rallied around what united them. You proudly flew your flags, wore T-shirts that said, "These colors don't run." Then your leadership told you to do nothing. Let your professional army do the fighting. Perhaps you learned to do nothing too well. 233 years ago, the silent majority in Boston got fed up with taxation without representation and held a little tea party to prove the anger of "We the People" is on the march. It started the first American Revolution. Now it's time to start the second American Revolution. Take an envelope, put a tea bag inside. Simple. Seal it and send it to your non-representing representatives in Congress. They'll get the idea. We're mad as hell and we want our country back. Look in your mirror. There's your leader. Phone your talk radio host. Call for a tax protest. Set your internet communities on fire with the idea. But if you decide to do nothing again, then buy a gun. You'll need it. My name is Thomas Paine. Don't give up hope, America. Your country needs a new greatest generation. Answer the call. Get into the fight. It's a good time to be a patriot. The second American Revolution has just begun.